Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network, 105.1 FM and 1080 AM.
Well, don't forget, it is a Mail Sack Tuesday. Any and all questions are welcome at 503-864-6326. We get to our beloved choking Blazers last night at the bottom of the hour. But
we thought we could hire this guy for a while.
We did.
Wasn't he the big fish on our market this offseason?
Are we as important as North Carolina?
I don't think that we are.
Yeah, no, I don't think we are either. Noah Weisskopf joining us here, covering University of North Carolina for Tar Heel 24/7. Part of 24/7 Network, CBS Sports. He joins us now. Noah, good morning. Thanks for hopping on with us, man. I heard about Tommy Lloyd and a little Dusty May and a Billy Donovan. Then yesterday I'm putting peanut butter on toast and Pete Thamel's like, it's Mike Malone. And I'm like, where did this come from? Was Mike Malone always being one of the top candidates, or did this come out of like he's their sixth choice because they were being told a lot? A lot.
Yeah, I think it was kind of in the middle. To be honest with you, when we got word that it was going to be Mike Malone, it to us as well came out of left field. We were pretty surprised by it just because that name hadn't really been mentioned to us, to any other really media outlets over the last 48 hours. So it did sort of come out of left field on that front. Now, the more we learn about it, the more we know that he was sort of there the whole time. I can't tell you guys that he was the number one choice, obviously, right? They, and I'll be honest with you guys, they thought that they had Tommy Lloyd. They thought that thing was going to get done. They thought that was going to be their hire. And that was their absolute number one option. That is who they wanted. They got really close to a deal. Ultimately, Arizona came in and said, hey, we'll give you everything you ever wanted. And then some. And so he ended up staying to take it. They had to ask Dusty May because it's Dusty May. Now, if they didn't make the Final Four, maybe there was a different conversation. I'm not sure, but they obviously win the whole thing, and Dusty May has absolutely no reason to leave, so he stays put. On the Billy Donovan front, I think that he wasn't willing to say yes or no until after the NBA season, and ultimately Carolina decided that was just a little bit too long to wait. So they settle on Michael Malone. Not settle. I shouldn't say settle. They get Michael Malone. I can't tell you for sure if they settled or not. But ultimately, they feel like they have their guy, and they feel like that NBA experience and everything like that, they'll be able to help, get some of those relationships in college and use that NBA experience to show kids, hey, look what I've done in the NBA. This is who I've developed. This is what I've done. I have a ring, and so forth. So that's the expectation. Nothing is official yet. They haven't officially announced it. The expectation, though, is that Michael Malone will be the coach.
Interesting. I'm curious where the reaction has been from the fan base, because and it doesn't always have to be accurate, right? Like, we can love a hire or hate a hire, and then we end up being right or wrong years down the road. But they went this route in football, and you hire Belichick, and I know there's a whole different story there with the girlfriend and the off-the-field stuff, but I remember at the time, it's like, well, it's Bill Belichick. He's a great football coach, and then year one is a disaster. And maybe year two isn't. We'll see how they do this season, and maybe they turn things around. Malone's a big name. He just won an NBA title not that long ago. But to mine, I don't know if he's ever coached in college basketball, so I'm just like, what's been the reaction? It's a notable name. They're going to pay a lot of money for him when they get him. Is it a, yes, we got our guy, or why are we doing the pro thing again? Like, how are Tar Heel fans reacting to the news?
Yeah, well, first I'll add, I forgot to add that Malone didn't have a buyout, and that also played into it. The buyouts that they had with a guy like Mark Bynington at Vanderbilt and some of those other guys, at Texas Tech and so forth, they had pretty large buyouts that are near $10 million, so that was a big sticking point as well. In terms of the fan reaction, I think, as any hire always is, it's pretty split. But I would say more Tar Heel fans are probably happy with it just because of his success in the NBA than aren't. Now, you look at football, and a lot of people, the ones that aren't happy with it, compare it to football. And I will say there's definitely some similarities, but obviously a lot of differences too. When Belichick was hired at Carolina, the administration and people around the hiring were pretty much shell-shocked by him. Just they were starstruck, right? And I think this is a lot different because Michael Malone spent some time in Chapel Hill last year. Not sure. This was around a bunch yesterday. But Michael Malone's daughter plays volleyball at North Carolina. So he's been around the campus. He's been around the athletic department a lot over the last year. She's a sophomore. And he actually was invited by Hubert Davis last year to some practices and spoke to the team on different occasions, watched some practices. So he was actually around a little bit, maybe four or five practices last year. And yes, Michael Malone did coach in college, but it came about 25, 26 years ago. He was at Queens, or he was raised in Queens. He was at Manhattan for a couple of years. He was at Providence for a year or two. So very minimal college experience. And I don't even know if you can qualify that as college experience, given that it was 25 years ago and where we're at now with the college game.
This is With the First Pick, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where draft season never ends. Join former Titans GM Rand Carthon and me, Ryan Wilson, three times a week for an inside look at the college all-star games, the NFL Combine, and Pro Days. It's all building toward the big stage in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania this April for the 2026 NFL Draft. Follow and listen to With the First Pick on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Noah Weisskopf, our guest here, Tar Heels 24/7, is North Carolina finally fired Hubert Davis, who just was not thriving there the last couple seasons, and they had one of their worst finishes this year. You pair that with the success that Shire's had so far with Duke and recruiting and getting the Elite Eight and Final Four, and North Carolina finally makes a move here. They're going Mike Malone. So what do we think about the staff? Because the history of NBA-based guys, I know you mentioned some slight experience for Malone in college, but largely NBA guys that then go to the college ranks. Like right now, one big name that you could throw out is BYU's Kevin Young, who was an NBA assistant for a long time, a G League coach, and he's having a pretty good little run here at BYU early on. What is Malone's staff, you think, going to consist of? Mostly college guys? Do we have an idea of where he's going to go? Because even if he's got some stuff in his past, we know there's going to be that transition to go from dealing with Nikola Jokic to trying to get a five-star to transfer to his program.
Yeah, I would imagine it's a mixture of both. And this is just pure speculation. Nothing like that has been finalized. There's been some talks. Now, I'll tell you that it's really important for a lot of people in the Carolina administration and the Carolina in general for him to have some of that tradition with him. Because honestly, this is the first time that Carolina has went, quote, outside the family with a basketball hire in 72 years. So this is brand new. The next coach that they've always had in its recent history has been someone that understands, someone that gets it. And that's really important when it comes to Carolina basketball. So I imagine that he's going to want somebody or at least a couple of people within his program, whether it's in front office roles or whatever it might be, who have been at Carolina a while and he wants to retain them. So they have Sean May on their staff, who's a Carolina legend. I would imagine he's up for maybe being retained. There's some people behind the scenes that put stuff together that have been at Carolina for more than three decades. I would imagine that those people might remain just to sort of maintain that Carolina tradition. But you're right. I think that he's going to go a split. I think there's going to be some NBA coaching experience there on his staff. But I also think that definitely it's pivotal for him to have some college coaching experience, especially in the last couple of years, or someone who's been in the ranks right now to be able to help him through this process. And, there, you know, at the end of the day, sure, he's going to be coaching basketball, and that's something he's done for a long time. But there is differences when it comes to college, dealing with agents, dealing with the NIL, dealing with kids, frankly, that are really, really young that he's never had to deal with. So I do think that there's going to be a mixture. I would imagine that he wants some experience, though, from the college game to be on his staff to help him through some of the early differences that he encounters.
It's a different sport now where you don't have to build for 3 or 4 years like maybe you used to get a program to where you want it to go, and you have the ability to overhaul your roster in one off season. What are realistic expectations for him in year one?
Well, the expectations around here, you better win at the very, very top, or else there's going to be some outrage by a lot of people. That's just the expectation for Carolina basketball as is. So the expectation for everyone around here is that they will be back in the tournament and they'll be able to make a deep run in the tournament. That's the only viable expectation for Carolina basketball. They want to get back to their tradition, their history. The most March Madness wins by program belongs to North Carolina, and they want to keep building on that every single year, and there's really no excuse for it. So they won't make excuses for them. Hey, it's his first year, it's this, it's that. they need to be back in the tournament conversation every year and be able to make a deep run.
All right, good stuff. Noah Weisskopf, Tar Heel 24/7. The North Carolina Tar Heels, watching another team win a national championship, have decided we're going Mike Malone. They're going to shake it up a little bit and go the former Nugget coach as the next one to lead the Tar Heels. You can find Noah on social media. Good work, Noah. Thanks so much for hopping on with us this morning. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
Hey, everyone. I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air. And we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.